Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening. Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's me again, and I'm here with a woman after my own heart, Nicole Guillaume. Say hello, Nicole, to our audience.
Hi, everyone.
Nicole. Nicole is in the United States, currently in Ohio. And why I'm so pleased to have her with us today is that she's a psychic, she's a light worker, and she's a spiritual mentor. So that means, if I'm right, Nicole, you mentor people, you take them under your wing to teach them how to become psychic and how to use their psychic abilities, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I help people to tap into the gifts that they already have.
Yeah.
Sometimes they know they have them, sometimes they don't. Uh-huh. And I start working with people wherever they are in their journey. And so I just help them to tap into their inner wisdom and bring those gifts out. And it's a magical experience for everyone, including me. It's
It is always magical. I mean, you know, when we're channeling and when we're acting as mediums, all of a sudden information comes out that, you know, we couldn't possibly know on our own,
right.
and the hair just stands on on my arm. I can see it raising, you know. So let's go back in time to petite Nicole. because I know it's always different for everyone who does this kind of work. There things happen, we're not sure, and then we keep them to ourselves, and we don't tell anybody until we're old enough to think, oh, forget that, you just start working with it. So how was it for you? When did it occur? How old were you?
Well, the way that I tapped into my abilities and realized I had them, I think, was pretty unique. So I was, as a child, a very sensitive little girl, but I also grew up in a very religious and abusive household. And so my parents
Nicola, I'll interrupt you just for a second. When you talk about abusive, are you talking about mental abuse? Or are you talking about... Tell us, if you don't mind sharing.
So, there was definitely some mental abuse and emotional abuse.
Okay.
My parents were very controlling. When I was little, they would smack my brother and I around. Like, if we didn't agree with them, they'd hit us. And then when we were older and we could talk and we could, you know, actually share with people what was going on in the house, they stopped the physical aspect. Mm-hmm. But the emotional aspect was
right.
still pretty prevalent. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that was not fun. So growing up in that environment was obviously very difficult. And so a lot of my gifts were suppressed because I didn't have anyone I could talk to
about them. But you had already experienced things occurring during
that time? I was able to sense, like, I didn't know what clairsentience was mm-hmm. at the time, but I could very much feel.
So clairsentience is feeling, right?
Right. Yeah. Clairsentient is when you're able to feel what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could sense the presence of, you know, just different beings in my room. I didn't know who they were most of the time. Sometimes I could sense if it was a more loving spirit or maybe a more neutral or not exactly nice spirit.
Yeah, not friendly.
Right. Yeah. Thankfully, there weren't too many of those, but they did show up once in a while. And so that was just something I think I started to just kind of suppress and block out because it didn't seem useful. I didn't understand what was going on. and just went about my life as I grew up. And so the way that my psychic abilities really started to brighten up for me was actually when I was in my early 30s. I had decided to decorate my home for Halloween, and I wanted to do a seance scene inspired by...
Isn't Halloween the best? You can come out of the closet. It absolutely is.
Yeah, I know. We can get involved with our real witchy psychic selves.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to make a seance scene that was inspired by the seance scene in Disneyland's The Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I need to get some tarot cards. So I went online and started looking up different tarot cards. And I found a tarot set that I really loved, but it was $30 and I didn't want to pay that much for a tarot
set. What was the name of the deck? Do you remember?
It's no longer in print, but it was called The Wizard's Tarot. Mm-hmm. And there's several different Wizard's Tarot out now, but it's not the same. So this one's no longer in print. Yeah. And so that deck haunted me. I thought about it for 3 days. I did. Yeah. I go to bed thinking about it. And finally one morning, it was like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about this deck and I was like, I have to get it. So I went online, ordered it, and was able to fall asleep. So when the deck came in, I held those cards in my hand, looking through the images, and I was just like, this is too beautiful to use for decorations. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I was going to learn how to read them. So I bought different books. I took some online courses. I practiced with friends. And my abilities just completely blew up. Like they just got in a very short amount of time. And it was shortly after, probably.
Nicole, when you say a short amount of time, give us a time frame. So, because a lot of people out there listening.
2 to 3 months. Read. Yeah, it was probably 2 to 3 months.
Very
where it
short.
Just like really was.
Very short.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like I was trying to open up those abilities. I was just working with tarot. I was fascinated by these cards. So, I started doing readings for people, and then I opened up like a little side business where, you know, I was charging, I think, only $5 at the time for tarot readings. And spirits started to come through. And that was very fascinating to me. And I didn't exactly understand what was going on.
All right, now wait a minute. Now wait, let's put a little more detail into the description because, all right, you have a tarot deck. I've got about 150 in my home. So you make a spread, right? You mix the cards, put the spread. And when you say that spirit started coming in, what does it look like for you?
So I remember the most prevalent instance of this. It wasn't the first, but it's the one that really stuck in my mind. It was among the first. So I had laid out some cards and I felt and saw in my mind's eye these two gentlemen come forward. Mm-hmm. And so they were standing on the other side of my desk. So I'm trying so hard to read these cards for my client, but I can't because there's these two men looking at me. Yeah. So I stop the reading and I'm like, you know, I'm very distracted right now because I have two gentlemen here in the spirit that want to connect with you. And she's like, oh. And I said, yeah. So I explained them to him. I explained them to her. I told her one was in a hoodie and he was looking down and he seemed really upset. And the other, this blonde haired guy, seemed kind of, you know, built like he was athletic, had his arm over the man that was wearing a hoodie and was telling him, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Everyone's fine. So my client was like, oh, I know exactly who that is. Turned out these were two of her college buddies that had died in a horrendous car accident. Mm-hmm. And the one that was crying that was wearing the hoodie was the one responsible for it. Uh-huh. And the athletic one was the one that was, you know, that was comforting him, was the passenger in that car. And so we were able to have like a spirit communication, which was surprising to both of us. Cause
tell me, Nicole,
she had ordered a tarot reading.
You weren't, this was not only on a $5 dime, was it?
It was actually, yeah. Cause that was at the very beginning of all of this. So yeah, It was. It was on a $5 budget.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first, all right? Now, of course, this was surprising both to you and for the client. How did you react? Not to this, to what had occurred. What was the first thing you did? Well, I'm going to do this for other people because it's so easy, because I can do it. How can I go about it? First, let me try with my friends. What were your first thoughts about that?
I just thought it was a fluke. Like, I was just like, I can't believe that happened. And so I just kind of put it to the side as like a really cool once in a lifetime experience. Like, I didn't think it would happen again.
When that door's right. open, people come in, you know, they just walk
That's
in.
Exactly right. Yeah. So then the next day, someone's dad came through. And so it started
with another client.
Right. And so it
Tell
was
me when you
really
raised the prices. How many clients after?
It probably would have taken, I think it was about a year later, actually, because that's when it felt more consistent and natural. I had also spoken to a couple of friends at that point who were mediums, and they were telling me, you're a medium, and I'm like, you're crazy.
that's the way it works.
Right. And I think that I had a really hard time believing that I was a medium for two reasons. One, because of how I grew up. And second, because you always hear these stories of people who have been able to talk to spirits since they were little tots. And that wasn't my experience.
I know. But the problem with this, and I'll, you know, say this for our audience as well, is that there are very few people to talk to about this, colleagues. And so when I saw, you know, when I found you and I thought, oh, I'm going to jump on her. She's coming to my place and she's going to explain, you know, so my clients, my audience, everyone who is listening will understand as well. Even though, Nicole, I understand it's a little different for everyone, but the fact remains that a medium is one who communicates with those who have passed and they relay messages, right?
Yes.
Now, we're up to the year mark, right? And you started thinking about doing this on a regular basis, right? Mm-hmm. Because there was a certain amount of reliability. You knew that they were coming in each time, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What happened then? For example, and this is why I'm asking, did it happen that people would read that you offered services of mediumship, purchase the service, and then come to you and say, look, I want to talk to my dad. I want to talk to my sister who passed. How did that develop?
That's a good question. So, I did end up mentioning after a year that I do mediumship readings. And once I started talking about that more and talking about my experiences with just talking to different spirits, it's like people were like, tarot, why would I want to go to you for tarot when I can talk to my deceased loved one? And so people very much jumped on the opportunity to have those sessions with me. What's interesting is once I shifted, and you can let me know if this has been your experience too. Once I shifted where I was basically doing purely mediumship, after about 6 months to 8 months, I noticed it wasn't as easy anymore. So there were times where it felt like I was really having to focus harder than usual to bring someone through. Sometimes no one would come through, and that's when the imposter syndrome hit. Like, oh my gosh, have I been making this up this whole time?
Well, no, this is quite interesting that you mentioned this, but that has never happened to me, that imposter syndrome. Neither has it ever happened to me that people don't come through. I'll tell you why. A client comes, knocks on my door, orders the service, and says, I'd like to talk, you know, in all communicating via email, I'd like to talk to my dad, my brother, my sister, and all of that. I usually ask for their first names, but during the reading, I will do that. I immediately tap in to see if they're willing to come in before we go into the session, and then it works. What does occur, and this you'll find occurs to you as well, is that different entities come in. And the first time that happened, I thought, okay, guys, we got to go home. You know, close it. And I'm thinking, wait, let's do this tomorrow. It happened to me the first time. I told the client, look, there's something off here. Let's reschedule. And then I understood, well, it's all about psychic hygiene and cleansing before I see your hand of Fatima around your neck, on your chain there, and that keep evil spirits away. It is, because people ask me, well, how do you know it's my dad? How do you know? And okay, I can't put it in writing. I can't, you know, give you the seal of approval. Come in for the reading and you'll see for yourself, you know?
Right.
So that isn't, you know, I didn't have this syndrome, that imposter syndrome, but I can say, Nicole, that sometimes, and I do this live on my YouTube channel, sometimes the person says such odd things that you wonder if, is that what they said? Did they really right. say that? I mean, what should I do? Should I tell the person? Or what, you know? And yeah, that has happened. What is your experience about the relaying process? Because do you have your clients come and ask questions and then you act as a third person, or you have the voice come through you and your first person, you're relaying the message as if you were their father or their lover?
So I start off my sessions with seeing who's around that client. And you're very right in saying that, you know, people will come to you asking, saying, I want to talk to my brother or my father, even if they don't say that, they have a certain expectation. And so one of the things that I've noticed, and, you know, I didn't realize this, you know, years ago, but I notice it now, is that if there's someone that comes through that your client doesn't necessarily want to talk to, they're not going to put two and two together because they're looking specifically for someone else. And so it's not that someone didn't come through or that you got the information wrong. It's that they're trying to tune into someone specific. And if they don't let you know that, that can be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, no, was a problem in the beginning for me. And then I started just honing my skills to think, I'm going there, I'm picking that person up and having them sit down and talk. That's it, you know?
Right.
And so then I had this little step beforehand asking them if they would come in, you know, instead of creating a schedule that then had to be revised and all of that. But so now we have after the year, then you started the service and you have started it. So how long have you been doing this so far?
I have been doing this for about a decade now.
Yeah.
It's been about 10 years now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's such a rewarding experience, isn't it?
It is.
It really is.
Yes, absolutely.
The only really bad part of this is that you can't exchange. There are not many people who do it. So, I mean, I just can't say to somebody, hey, did you feel the other day, did that happen to you too? Or what? Right. You know, I just can't do that. And that's, you know, but I know what I hear. I know what I see. So I don't have that doubt. There's no doubt there. But what's the next step for you?
So what I love to do is I actually love teaching people how to do this on their own. Mm-hmm. I think that everyone has some form of psychic abilities. I think everyone is intuitive on some level.
Yeah.
And I do think that while not everyone is a medium, I think everyone has the ability to connect to their own loved ones on the other side. And the real issue here is that we just haven't been taught that.
Okay, I'll stop you because I'm going to ask you how, when, where, how much.
Right.
Okay, because a lot of people are out there listening to us and I get this question over and over and over again. And I have other things and I don't mentor. I do have coaching hours, but a specific mediumship mentoring program, no. And I have to say that the world over there, I had found one in Zurich in Switzerland, but that is closing. And there might be spot seminars around the world that I have not found yet. So let's say, I don't want to ask you that specific things, but let's say for a card reading, a tarot card reading, you put down on your website, tarot card reading, 30-minute tarot card reading or five card tarot or whatever, mm-hmm. and you give it a price, right?
Right.
With the mediumship, what is it that we'll see when we go to your website?
So for the mediumship right now, I am really trying to focus on teaching people how to do this on their own.
Right.
And so the reason for that is mediums aren't always available when you need them to be. If you are in a really dark place and you are grieving heavily and the medium you want to go to has a 2-week wait list or a 2-month wait list or a 2-year wait, that's too long. You know, so when people go to my website right now, they'll see that I have a program called Embracing Heaven.
Okay. Embracing Heaven is the program name. Heaven. Okay.
Yes. In fact, starting in March, I'm going to be doing group mentorship for Embracing Heaven for people who want to have more in-person guidance, or I should say interactive guidance. And they're maybe not as motivated to take an online course on their own, but if they have a schedule with someone.
Okay. Right. Now, how often it'll be and a class. When? How many? Is it a package or how does that work?
Yeah, so the mentorship program that's coming, it'll be 8 weeks long, so basically 2 months. We will meet once a week in a group.
How long?
Likely
how many
on
hours?
A Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it's every week for 8 weeks. We'll meet in a group probably on Saturday, and the sessions will be anywhere between 1 hour and 2 hours long, mm-hmm. depending on what the exercise is for that day for that lesson. And they'll also get 2 one-on-one sessions with me
In the package.
So they'll be group and private. Mm-hmm. Yes, in the package. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
How are those one-on-one sessions? How long do they last?
Those are about an hour. They're anywhere between 45 minutes to an hour, depending on what happens. Because what's fun about those is we'll set them up and we'll think that we're going to help that person work on their clairs or work through some type of question they have
on
with
their
the
clairs.
And
when
a
you
lot
say,
of times,
when you say on their clairs, the clairaudience, clairvoyance, all of those clairs.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But a lot of times their loved ones are right there during the session talking to both of us. And so it turns into a mediumship session a lot of times, which is actually a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But you never know what's going to happen when you walk into these sessions, because you don't know where that person is until you tune into them.
Yeah.
And they may not always understand what's happening with them, especially if they're still very heavy in their grief. So there might be some healing that needs to take place before they're able to open up a little bit more to receive that that information from spirit. So excuse me. So that's the big thing that I'm pushing right now, is the Embracing Heaven, because it's very heavy on my heart to teach people how to do this.
Yeah, it's something it's a calling. You know, it does come. You wouldn't do it if you didn't feel the need to do it, obviously.
Right. Yeah. There was also oh man.
She's laughing.
So I had this experience. Yes, I am. I had
Here
this
goes
experience.
The stories.
Right. Absolutely. I had this experience a few months ago where I saw a very famous medium. I will not mention this medium's
name. You mean
name
you
because
saw
we don't need to go
you
there.
Saw you went face to face with this person? You yourself went
it
there?
It was an online it was one of those online events. You gotta get a drink of water.
Oh, and you went to their event.
I went to their event because I love watching other mediums and psychics perform. Yeah. Right. I like to see their process. I like to see how they relay messages. I like to just bask in their aura like it's magic. Yeah. I love it. So I went to see this very well-known medium who's been doing this for 30 years. This person's written some New York best-selling books and had his own show for a while. Mm-hmm.
So we know it's a man. You said his.
You know it's a man. Yeah, you know it's a man. Yeah. And I went to his online event just really expecting to be wowed. I kid you not, he had more misses than hits. And my jaw dropped.
Well, wait. Now, misses and hits. So misses is when they don't get something right, and hits is when they get something right. But in relation to who? To people asking in person or online? All right, give me an example. Can you give us an example?
Okay, so there was a woman who he had, who he claims he tapped into, and he says, "You know, I've got your mom here." And she's like, "Really? You have my mom? That's great." And he says, "Was she shot and killed?" Just like that blatant.
The
Was
woman,
she shot and killed?
the yeah.
Yeah. And so the woman was taken back, and she's like, "No, it was nothing like that." And he's like, "Okay, well, who was it that was shot?" And she's like, I don't have anyone that was shot." He was adamant about it. He's like, "Was someone shot in the brain? Was someone shot in the chest?" And it got to the point where he was being so aggressive about it, I was getting uncomfortable. It's
It's
like,
not nice.
no. And it's like, you know, even if someone had passed in that form and she's telling you no, you need to respect that and
Yes,
back
of course,
off.
of course. There's another thing to be said. Remember when you asked me, I don't know if this happens to you, but sometimes the person doesn't come in, the spirit doesn't come in, and I started talking about negative energy coming in. Another thing that happens, that happened and happened at least 3 times since I started doing mediumship live on my channel, my guides stopped me from doing it a month, 2 months, 3 months, because of the, how can I say, the sensationalism of it. It's not about sensationalism. It's about helping people. It's about something else. So I stayed away and then came, because what I find is people write to me, can you channel so and so, and so is so, he disappeared mysteriously, or this movie star and that movie star. And what I will find always is that they're earthbound. They died, they haven't crossed, and so that seems to be a specialty of mine, and I, cross them over. But in terms of what you're saying, an event, I can't face something like that, nor can I be part of it to watch. But like you say, you're curious. You want to see how they were. Yeah, it's interesting.
It was heartbreaking for me, honestly.
And
It was
why?
heartbreaking for me because there's so many reasons for it. I was heartbroken because this is someone who I believe is a cold reader. I don't
What
believe
do you
he
mean a
has the
cold
abilities that
reader?
he's.
What do you
So a
mean a
cold
cold?
reader is someone who will look at you and they will
Say
kind
something.
of read your face and they'll figure out your personality. So they get you to warm up before they actually do any type of reading for you. They'll talk to you a little bit first. They'll One of the things with me is like I have all of my readings where they're voice only because I don't want to see the
You don't
person
want
I'm
to see. I
talking
know
to
it's.
you.
I
I don't want
know.
to see.
I shut the video off when we're doing the
Exactly,
talking.
yeah. And a lot of people want the video on, but there's too many visual
There's just too
cues.
many
And
distractions.
there's that too. And so that's what this person was doing. He was very clearly using visual cues, and it was heartbreaking to see that he was. If
Messing it
people
up.
don't know what cold reading is, they can look it up, but fraudulent mediums will
Ah,
use
okay.
this
I see.
technique.
I see.
Yeah. And the problem is that, you know, mediums get ridiculed
Oh,
for
God, amen.
prospering off of people's grief. You
Yeah,
know, we're
yeah.
constantly
We
being
get a
told
bad
that we're
name.
frauds.
We get a
We
bad
do,
name.
yeah. And the reality is that we have to charge for our services so we can have a livable income, so we can continue to do this
Right.
work.
I
That's
you have to put
why we have
food
to
on
put
the
a price to
table,
it.
right?
Right. And then you have people like the gentleman whose name I will not mention, who is taking advantage of people and charging a phenomenal amount of money for it. So these people are showing up to connect with their loved ones, and what they're getting is a show. And it was so disappointing for me too, because this guy was one of my heroes. You know,
Yeah,
I had
yeah,
read
yeah.
his
Well,
books.
a myth has
I
died.
believed in him. Yeah, exactly.
But
And
let's
so it was
go back to
heartbreaking.
you. Let's go back to you, Nicole. Because one of the topics you mentioned that you would be willing to talk about is psychic development. And I imagine that the psychic development is just has been discussed already. Say, because being a medium also involves honing your psychic skills, and what you do in mentoring would involve that as well. Am I right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, there's another question you mentioned about highly sensitive persons. How can you be a highly sensitive person without losing your mind? Mm-hmm. You have the floor. We all want to know.
All right. So for people who are a highly sensitive person, you might find that you are overstimulated or really agitated by specific sounds, by very loud music, like lawnmowers and that sort of noise can really kind of set me off. And so one of the things that I've learned to do as an HSP and especially as a psychic HSP is to, first of all, realize it's a gift. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. It's not a curse. It is a gift. Because the more sensitive you are actually to outside occurrences, that just means you have really a larger awareness. Yeah. You have more awareness of your surroundings than other people do.
Yeah.
And that's actually really cool because that means that you most likely have a better awareness of the spirit world and sure. angels and sure. guides.
Sure.
And if you're able to really just kind of tune into yeah. that.
Yeah.
instead of the reality that's kind yeah, of yeah. triggering you, mm-hmm. that can be so helpful and so healing.
Yeah.
So that's what I've learned to do is I've learned to, when I'm feeling really kind of triggered yeah. or agitated, yeah. I'll like tune into that one angel and be like, all right, help okay. me out.
There you go. And but this implies something else, Nicole. It also implies that people would know either their guides, spirit guides, or angels. If they don't, they can hone in on a specific angel that, or a guide that they have traditionally grown up with in their culture. Yeah.
Right.
All right. So far, we're on the same page. I agree with you. Now, there's another topic that you mentioned is managing depression. Now, I was surprised. Mm-hmm. Managing depression as a psychic light worker. I understand where you're coming from with that topic because, you know, especially in the beginning of somebody's work, let's talk about that depression, how it comes to a light worker, when especially.
I think that light workers who grew up in abusive relationships and controlling environments yeah. are just more keyed into it because of how our bodies and our minds become programmed living in that type of environment. And it's not just towards people who are abused when they were children. If somebody ended up in really any type of, I think, abusive relationship, and that abusive culture, mm-hmm. you know, like a work culture,
of course,
that does a lot to a person because then they start to doubt their worth. They right. start to doubt their confidence. They start to wonder if they're really good at these things.
Right.
They start to question if they're a good wife or whatever it is. And so that can really do a number on a person. So I believe that depression a lot of times is trauma that we haven't been able to release fully. Mm-hmm. And I also yes. believe that it can be a symptom of being in an environment that is not conducive for our own growth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's unfortunate people will end up in situations that are unfair to them and they're trapped for whatever reason.
Do you mean situations unfair to them?
So by that, it could be that, you know, for example, like right now, the world is kind of obsessed with narcissists, right? We hear a lot of talk about
COVID.
Narcissists. And COVID, that's yeah. true. But narcissists tend to have this very charming demeanor about them. They're very likable. They've got these big dreams. They can seem like wonderful people. And so, yeah. you know, when they go out and they date, they yeah. can put on the charm and make someone yeah. feel really seen, really valued. Yeah, yeah. And they think, oh my gosh, I met this wonderful person. Yeah. And so then they end up getting married. And within a few months, mm-hmm. the mask comes off and you realize who it is that you really got. And maybe you're trapped in that situation for financial reasons, yeah. for social reasons, or your mom's putting a lot of pressure on you to have babies, yeah. or you have kids, you know, you're stuck with that person. And it's unfair because it's not what you signed up for. Mm-hmm. It's unfair because this person tricked you. And even intuitive people, you know, fall for this. I've known very psychic people who fell, and myself included, you know, fall for someone who was a narcissist. And I think a lot of times inside you're getting a little red flag, but because they're putting on this wonderful show, you start to think, oh, I can't be tuning into this, right? This person's too nice. And so when people find themselves in that type of situation where their dreams have been shattered or someone has been pulling the wool over their eyes that they've been used, and it really messes with their sense of self, that's when someone can get very depressed. And I think that when you start to question your own self-worth or you start to feel trapped or whatever it is, it can really kind of mess with your ability to, well, not your psychic ability so much because you still have those, but you start to, you don't trust them as much anymore. You don't have a lot of faith and confidence in them anymore. Because it's like, well, I was wrong about all this stuff. Why wouldn't I be wrong about this?
Let me throw out an idea here for you, because you started with the $5 tarot reading and then got up, and now you're in a group situation where you're mentoring people who want to learn. And that's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of responsibility because you're responsible for the way people develop. You stimulate them. It's not that you can always speak to someone. You never know how they take what you're saying, but it is a certain amount of responsibility when you interact with somebody. I like to ask someone when they tell me about the development of their profession, where do you see yourself next, after the coaching? I'll give you a couple of ideas, all right? Do you imagine that you would pick, say, 3 or 4 extremely sensitive, I became part of a group here locally in Italy because we do, we do concentrated crushing of negative entities when it gets really bad for us, and we meet every 3 months, right? So do you see yourself creating some form of powwow with powerful people powwow or something? Do you imagine that you, people usually have the idea of, okay, I'll write a book. That, I don't mean that. I mean in your profession. What is there something that you would like to try that you think that you would be capable of doing that you've always wanted to do? Do you have any ideas on that?
It's funny that you mentioned your group of people that you meet up with, because a friend of mine and I have been talking about possibly putting together, a conference of some sort. Mm-hmm. So we would like to hold a weekend conference and have other spiritual teachers on different topics come in and teach different things at these conferences and seminars. And so we would like this to be something that we do 2 to 3 times a year and hold it at like a nice resort. Yeah.
Person. You're going to be adventuresome and try to hold it in person. That's a taboo here in this side of the world in Europe. Planning anything in person is almost impossible today. With what's going on.
It is difficult. It definitely has its challenges. And because of just the way that the world is right now, international travel is kind of out of question.
Travel. I mean, there's been so many delays and cancellations, but that's interesting. That's interesting. So we can count on finding information about this, right? You're going to send me information when that happens. Will you have a section on people who can come in online as well, watch online,
I don't know if we'll have the capacity to do the webinar thing, because I mean there's still the whole thing of we would have to find the venue and we would have to there's just a lot to figure out still. Well, so we're still just in the future.
That's in the
brainstorming. That's in
embryonic
the future,
phase.
So.
All right. Wow, thank you so much. And I have here a number of Instagram, Facebook, and all of that, YouTube, where they can find you, people or the audience can find you looking for the name Guiding Echoes. Guiding Echoes. Right. All right. And I will write this at the bottom of the episode, in the episode description. Nicole, thank you so much for coming and telling us all your secrets and ideas.
My
and
pleasure.
Your dreams for the future. I hope to have you back on in the future after you have other ideas, or after you've done the conference, and maybe you can share with us some things that occurred. Thanks again, Nicole.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Bye-bye.